Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 25th of November, recording at 9:58 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, and apologies to that poor subscriber who has to go to bed at 10 o'clock. Well, actually, he's probably a very wealthy subscriber. I hope so, at any rate. Early bird gets the worm and all that. Well, what about these markets? First, the U.S. is closed for the Thanksgiving holiday, and happy Thanksgiving to the many American listeners. Over here, we had sort of a quiet stock market scene in Asia, not much going on, up or down, although of lead indicator significance, we did see today the Australian, the main Australian and New Zealand indices move to new high ground. Now that's important in my view, because those have been the best performing developed country markets, and they're pace setters. They broke upwards way before others did out of this year's trading ranges, and they've been persistently and consistently strong. And you know, I maintain that the leaders lead in both directions. Now, there are plenty of other leaders as well among the emerging market countries, but I do put great store by those two trends that I've just mentioned. And so far, they're saying that this stock market rally remains healthy and is being punctuated by no more than these rather small consolidations. Now, not all markets are performing. Japan, to my chagrin, is a wallflower still. But while the others are going up, Japan and anything else that's lagging behind has that scope for a sudden and sharp catch-up move. Of course, that's very unlikely to happen once the others top out, but they haven't done that yet. Now, in terms of bonds, not much going on here today. Slightly steadier in Europe. There was some dreadful economic data. Well, just more in the succession of dreadful economic data coming out of Europe. I just look at my screen and I see German business confidence fell to a 14-month low in November. That's mainly, they say, on the euro. I doubt it's that so much. They also mention jobs, job fears. I think that's certainly the case in Germany. The problem, of course, is that while Germany did reasonably well in terms of export growth, I think it was up at least 10% over the last year, and with most of that going to China and the United States, there's very, very little consumer demand. It's remained extremely flat. And one of the reasons for that is that wage levels in Germany are just very uncompetitive. And German companies are very tempted, understandably, to move production facilities into East Europe. And it's really the Eastern European countries, which are now part of that European free trade area. Free trade, a bit of a misnomer, but you know, they're certainly working more closely with the Euroland countries, and they are really the main growth areas within Europe, and that'll probably remain the case for at least a decade or more. So when you think Europe in terms of investing in stock markets, if you want the performance, I would go with emerging Europe. Now, looking elsewhere, some excitement, further excitement. It's been almost daily excitement in the currency markets. And at this very moment, we have a new all-time high for the euro against the dollar, 132.80 is the last tick on the screen. So this is powered ahead, and as the dollar has continued to head lower, the Australian dollar, and that's the one that I hold. It's my second largest position overall, having underestimated the size of my natural gas position, as I mentioned in my comment of the day. But the Australian dollar was up about half a cent when I last looked, enabling me to move up my trailing stop into a new midpoint danger line level based on the techniques taught at the chart seminar. Now, inevitably, this currency move is just going to, is well, I'll put it this way, there's no inevitable about it. But the whole history, as far as I'm concerned, in watching currency moves, and I've been studying them very, very closely since the breakup of Bretton Woods. I think I've sometimes mistakenly said that that was in 1971. I believe the actual date was in 1973. But anyway, once you get these big moves in reserve currencies, they tend to have a momentum all of their own. They become self-feeding. And it's a huge industry. You probably are aware the turnover in currency markets vastly outweighs the turnover in global bond markets, which vastly outweigh the turnover in global equity markets. So currencies really are by far the biggest game in town. And so you can get hundreds of billions in whatever currency you wish to cite, which is just, but it's mainly in US dollars. These things are leveraged up. All, as I say, all highly leveraged trades, with most people putting down 5% of the value of the currency position or less. So we're talking about really a tidal wave of money. And these big trends continue until there is a major, and I do emphasize major, operation to undermine them or to turn them around, to cap them. And that hasn't happened yet. We've had the jawboning, but the problem from jawboning from European politicos and ECB officials. But the problem with jawboning is that there's a law of diminishing return. Now, I know we might say, and I have said, to take last year's example, the jawboning this time last year, when the euro was pushing up to an earlier high, there was an intensive jawboning campaign going underway. But that trend had been running for a very long time without a pause, so it was getting overextended, overheated. It's far easier to turn something like that around. This one only really started as the euro was breaking above 130. So at 132.76, this is hardly an overstretched move, in my view. Now, are we going to see some big major effort to turn this around? Well, I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it, at least in terms of the very near term. But quite simply, I don't know, and neither does anyone else. And probably they don't know in the ECB, and they don't know in the Bank of Japan. But it is inevitable that as these trends do continue, that eventually central banks will be provoked into some sort of action, and that will be extremely significant when it occurs. Meanwhile, as I say, I continue to run that Australian dollar position with a trailing stop, and that's the exact same strategy that I would use on any other dollar short position that that you might have. In terms of metal markets, now this has been an interesting day in here today, and there's so many things that are keying off this currency move, and just say, not as a boast, but with a sort of sigh of relief, I'm absolutely delighted, as is Owen Tracy here, my colleague, to see ourselves making profits on current positions at an eyebrow-raising rate, despite having a few loss-making situations in drifting markets, palladium. Some of the grains like corn. But the big positions are really, really rolling here, as you're probably well aware. The dollar shorts, the metal longs, and my biggest metal long is by far right now is a gold position, and the last on that is a 451.69. Has been as high as 452.85 in here today, but it having had a little sort of hesitation just below that 450 level, it's clearly punched up through that today, and as long as the dollar remains weak, this will certainly the gold price will certainly be moving up. But I just emphasize the point that's really worth repeating, that the dollar trend here is the key to factor in the short term, certainly to so many of these moves that are taking place right now. And everything that goes up together will come down together when that primary dollar trend changes. Okay, so let's run through a few more of these metals. Well, I can only do the London Metal Exchange because things like palladium are closed due to the Thanksgiving holiday. The U.S. silver market is closed. So, turning to the London Metal Exchange prices. We had some modest gain here in tin today. That's one I hold. Chart's looking a bit iffy, still in that side rather narrow sideways trading range, but it's up $90 here today at 8,900, and it really needs to get back above that $9,000 level. I got up to 8,975 here today and then sort of backed off. So I won't feel comfortable until it has pushed back up above that level. And also, as I've been saying the last few days, it has lost the backwardation, which does concern me a bit. But that's nowhere near as big a position as my gold position currently. I've got to put in an in the money stop. I've got that my February gold position. I'll certainly be doing that tomorrow, although February gold won't, I don't believe we'll be trading again because of the holiday, the additional holiday in the States. Now, one of the really big stories in here, which I had to leave early. I was going out to a concert and a dinner yesterday, and the news that you'll see on the website of reports coming out on natural gas supplies and short-term supplies being much, much lower than people had actually estimated. And that caused an explosive move on the upside. Now, I would have been happier, as I said, had these markets been open today and yesterday. But I'm kind of relieved that I wasn't here watching yesterday when that came out, because I almost certainly would have taken a profit on at least one of my two natural gas positions, which are larger than I had originally thought, as I explained on the website. I almost certainly would have taken a profit on at least half of that position, because the gains really were staggering. Now, as I said, I don't know what this is going to do on Monday. I don't know if there's still uncovered bear positions that are in there. I don't know if there's any additional news that's likely to come out on Monday. Nothing's taking place, or I haven't seen anything today on the screens, and there's certainly less research or work being done on this with the holidays going on. But this is a position that I will certainly be monitoring very, very closely next week, and looking to first to protect it with the minimum and in the money stop, not least because it's, to my surprise, is my largest position, and fortunately, it's also my most profitable position at this stage. Okay, what else can I mention? Oh, I'll look at crude oil in the UK. That's the Brent oil. I think I can put that up And today, well, we saw opening gain and then that faded down a little bit. It was down 16 cents on the day. I don't know if that's going to influence the IPE, I beg your pardon, not the IPE, the US crude price when trading resumes on Monday. But that had closed last night at 49.44. I think anything above that $50 level is certainly going to be noticed once again, and would start to create a headwind for stock markets. Currently, stock markets are not so much worrying about the oil price, but are looking more at the US dollar. But certainly, if natural gas is an indication of what could happen in some of these other contracts, then, as I say, that headwind for stock markets would increase. Of course, the main factor, the tailwind, is that global liquidity, which remains exceptionally high. And on tomorrow, good night.